Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, an elite athlete who runs to satisfy his curiosity.
The sky's really the limit. If you don't set a bar for yourself and you can continue to be optimistic about your abilities, then who knows where that can take you.
Running hundreds of races even after hip surgery.
When you go to the race, you always see smiling people. People were happy with what we're doing. They are very positive attitude.
And finishing every event at the Disney Princess Half Marathon.
In the half marathon, I wiped out at the 5K mark, got up, brushed myself off, and I continued the 16K completely injured. And I finished because it was my redemption run. Because the last time I tried to do that same half marathon, I was medically pulled off for my asthma. So nothing was stopping me this time. So I finished, and that, to me, that's completely proud. I cry crossing that finish line knowing I did it and nothing stopped me.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Yeah, feeling great. Thanks very much for asking.
We are counting down to Boston. Of course, you and I will be running the Boston Marathon. Are we going to run together? Is that the plan now?
That is the plan. Let's do this. Oh, God, I cannot wait.
Yeah, because you are much faster than me. You've broken 3 hours.
You could run,
you know, 20, 30 minutes ahead of me easily, maybe even 40 or 45. I think we've decided, and look, you can change your mind if you want to. You got to go with what is going to make you feel happy on the day, but I think it would be fun to run together and just have that experience of seeing the course and the people and the crowds and the energy and just sharing that whole experience instead of running alone, you know?
I mean, the thought that this race is coming up, and I mean, for me and you, we're lucky enough to have Boston, but I mean, hopefully that spirit and everybody else who's got their spring race coming, it's just such a gift that we've given ourselves. You know, it's something so, I mean, can you imagine being out there and can you imagine crossing that finish line? Like, it's exhilarating to think of.
Yeah, I always think about the finish lines. When I'm out on a run, whether it's Boston or New York or Ottawa or any other race, I picture myself coming down that final stretch and the crowds building and the roar and seeing the finish line ahead and just taking those final few strides. There's just something about finish lines, wherever they are.
And we've done it. I mean, you put this back in the listener, but like we've basically made it through winter, you know, like February is gone. Like April's right around the corner. Like we did it. Now it's like, forget who says that, but like, you know, your races is a celebration of the work that you did, you know, that we did it. And along with that, the weather's going to get warmer and these things are going to come and we're going to get out there and we're going to do it. And wow. And then it's going to be over and, you know, we could kick our feet up and we're going to be in Boston. I mean, I tell you, it just makes me, that's just, when I think of spring, you know, these are the images that come to mind.
Yeah. And wherever you are running this spring, I hope you've got the same level of excitement as Ben and I do about Boston.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
I'm going to be running in Ottawa as well this year. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got Chicago coming up later this year. So lots of reason to be excited. And you're right. We're emerging from, I don't think you can argue, it's the worst months of the year for runners. We're emerging from that. It's going to be in the past and nothing but good stuff ahead for the rest of 2018. So that's all good. And we've got some great stuff coming up on the show today. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Jody Hutchinson, who is a very inspiring woman. She's lost quite a bit of weight through running. She just did the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon on consecutive days at the Disney Princess Half Marathon in Orlando at Walt Disney World. She even ran after she fell down. Incredible story.
Yeah, she's terrific. She's also another one of these that's always volunteering at the expos. You always see her out. She's very active on social media. I mean, just running has really done a lot for her and for the community, and she gives a lot back.
Absolutely. And we're going to solve the question. I didn't even know we were asking this question until you told me, but who has run the most events that have been timed by SportsStats? So as everybody knows, SportsStats is the place you go to check your results. iRun is part of the SportsStats family, but that's where everybody goes to look up the races that they've done and that their friends and fellow runners have done. And you actually found a guy who has been in some 440 events that have been timed by SportsStats.
I tell you, he is just like Jody, though. You could not ask for a nicer, sweeter guy. I mean, yeah. One of the things, Mark, with you doing all of these races and even saying how you and I are going to run Boston together, a lot of these times with these races, you don't have to go out every race to set new land world records. Like, you know, he goes out, there'll be an event and he'll do six or seven, you know, he'll do the 5K and the 10K and the half marathon. He just loves doing it. You know, he doesn't do it to each time set a new world record. So, you know, his spirit of generosity is really overwhelming. And the way he does it, the pleasure he takes from our sport.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of those races since he had hip replacement surgery. So he's going to tell us about that as well.
And he's like 64 years old.
Yeah, Francois Bernatche. He's coming up a little bit later. And we're going to talk to one of the two people who is on the cover of the latest issue of iRun magazine, Trevor Hofbauer, who is a pretty neat guy who's a relative newcomer to running, you know, relatively speaking. He's been at it for a few years now, but he just won the Toronto Marathon last fall.
Yeah, and he's really one to watch and one that a lot of people are excited about. He's been training in Kenya, and, you know, Jerome Drayton he's had the Canadian Marathon world record, and he's had it for something like 40 years. And nobody's been able to take down his record. But Trevor's somebody, before he went to Kenya for a couple of months to train, that people were eyeing for. Maybe he's the guy. So we'll see. Interesting character. That's a sweetheart, too.
Yeah, it is crazy that the marathon record for Canadian men has stood for more than 40 years. The women's record stood for a long time until Lanny Marchant. And then eventually Krista Duchesne broke it as well. Lanny still holds the record, but the men's record still stands from the 1970s. It's kind of crazy.
Maybe All right. You and I will drop that in Boston.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe in the first half of the race we can break the marathon record. All right, Ben, thanks so much. Have a great week.
Cheers, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, one of the runners on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. We'll be right back. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. Trevor Hofbauer is one of two people on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. He's an elite runner from Calgary who won the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon in October. Hi, Trevor. Welcome to iRun Radio.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And tell me what it's like being on the cover of the magazine.
It's an honor. Yeah. compared to athletic achievement, it doesn't quite compare. But no, it's really nice to be on the front, and I'm really happy with it.
And you describe in the story about how you're a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to running, or a late entry into the field of running, because basketball used to be your sport. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for about 20 years, I played basketball, and I spent some time growing up in Port Moody, BC, where I was a part of the Junior Grizzlies League. And then when we moved to Calgary, I joined up with the community team and continued to play through junior high school, private club. And then after high school, I kind of lost that fire that I had when I was younger for the sport and decided to kind of hang up the jersey. So, that was about 6 or 7 years ago that I ended my so-called basketball career.
Right.
But,
such as
yeah,
it was.
Those were some good times.
Yeah. Well, basketball is a lot of fun. But and so how did you get interested in running?
Yeah, good question. When I was in grade 8, we had this thing called Run Across Canada, just at our school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Kids would run around the field, logging kilometers, and as a collective, we wanted to see if we could cross Canada, and we ended up going across Canada plus some, and I took part in that on Tuesdays and Thursdays and tallied the most kilometers out of anybody else, and I just really enjoyed it. So in junior high and grade 9, I continued in cross country and didn't take it too seriously. Same with high school. And then after basketball was done, I needed something to really keep me occupied. So that's where I took running a little bit more seriously when I went to state, and it just kind of flourished from there.
And you talk in the story in I Run about how curiosity fuels your running to some extent. Tell me a little bit about that. I really like when you said that it's an experiment to find the point of failure where your body can't take it anymore, basically.
Totally, because if you're going out there and pushing yourself really hard, you find this point of failure. And when you find that point of failure, that allows you to grow. And if you can continually hit that from day in and day out, maybe not every day, but every few days in terms of workouts, then you're going to yield a lot of improvement. And when I first started with the sport, I kind of got hooked on it because it allows a lot of endorphins to be released, and just continued on from there. So I was really curious to see that my body could go from like not really being that athletic to something special over time, and just do hard work and seeing how many times I could fail and seeing how I could grow and improve over time. And that's where my curiosity sits, because the sky is really the limit. If you don't set a bar for yourself and you can continue to be optimistic about your abilities, then who knows where that can take you.
So tell me a little bit about how your running career progressed, because I gather you started doing it while you were at school, and you were studying in Alberta, right? And then you were running there, and then so walk us through kind of the progression from there to winning Toronto.
Yeah, I was taking hospitality management at state, and at the time I was on the cross country team. And Jamie and I, first year that I was there, I didn't really do too well. I had a lot of shin splint issues, and that healed during my second year. And then around Christmas time of that second year, I just told Jamie, I'm like, hey, Jamie, I'm going to do a half marathon. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care. So I went in like with no training, and it was the Vancouver marathon, or half marathon, at the beginning of May. I ended up running 2:01:19 based off of no training. And then a year later, I did the same one because I had such an enjoyable experience, and I ran 1:13. And that was a big improvement. And that's, again, where I became really curious to see what my body could do. So then 6 months later in Victoria, I ran 1:09. So another big improvement. And then my shin ended up breaking because of the shin splints. So I had to take about a year off, and then, or not a year, it was like 8 months off, and it was like a six-month recovery. It was pretty bad. But then from there, I got back at it and ended up running 1:09 at the first half marathon, and then 1:07 in Calgary for the national championships, 1:04 6 months later in Philadelphia. And then I moved out to Guelph, and we'd step up to the marathon and ran 2:18 in Toronto. So over the years, that was like a 5-year span right there. So it's not just overnight that it happened. It was, even though there were some big improvements, it took a long time. And
yeah.
A lot of hours have been put in, a lot of sweat and tears to make everything happen.
So what was the experience like in Toronto? Now, I have to tell you, I ran the marathon that day too. I don't think we saw each other a lot, though, because I was a little bit further back. But tell me what the win in Toronto was like for you.
I might have seen you along, what is it, Waterfront?
Yeah.
Is that the road? Yeah, might have seen you there.
Yeah.
Could wave to each other.
Yeah, that's right. No, I would have, actually, there is a point at which I might have seen you, because there is kind of an out and back, right, where you do get to see the leaders, so... Maybe we did. Maybe our paths did cross, even though I was an hour or two behind you.
Yeah, and that first half of the race, everybody passes by each other, and it's great energy. So
yeah,
really helps fuel the crowd. But yeah, the race itself was such a positive experience, and that was my main takeaway from it. Aside from running a spectacular time or overall winning the race, anything like that, I just really wanted to enjoy it, because ultimately, I'd like to make an Olympic team. That's my goal, and it's been my goal since day one. So if I didn't enjoy this event, where would I go from there? I don't really like running on the track, so the 10,000 meters doesn't really fall into it. And if I didn't like the marathon, then I'm kind of out of choices. So that would kind of leave my running career up in the air and I wouldn't know what to do. So I just want to make sure that it's a positive experience so I could be hungry and continue to progress over time. So that's what it really meant.
One of the things that I love about running is the fact that I think elite runners have a lot more in common with everyday runners like me than the athletes in many other sports. And what you write about in the magazine, I think, is great. You talk about how running helps you solve problems. Running helps you make friends. That's very much what ordinary runners can relate to.
Absolutely. And that's the root of the sport, too. We're all going out there and we're doing our best. And yeah, we might not have the same PBs and some people might be an hour faster or hour slower, depending on the event. But when it comes down to it, we're all doing our best, and a personal best is personalized to you. It's that's the greatest accomplishment you can take away. It's not about winning races, and ultimately, it's not even about making teams. And it's just about going out there and doing your best and seeing what you can physically do, because at the end of the day, that's where your pride sits, and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And at any race, like at the Toronto Marathon last fall, we can all have a great day at the same time, right? We can all accomplish our goals, and with maybe one or two exceptions in the competitive side of it, everybody can go out there and run the best race they've ever run.
Exactly. No, I fully agree with you. And you can get competitive with other people around you, too.
Yeah.
So there's like all these little mini races that take place within the big race itself.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. And it's healthy, and there's respect there. But there have been times when I've been in a marathon, and I'm running along, and I'm thinking, I am not going to let that person finish ahead of me. That's my goal for the next couple of kilometers, is I got to stay ahead of that guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
You make little goals along the way, too, kind of like that, where you don't let the guy ahead of you beat you, or
yeah,
Right behind you.
Now, you were just in Kenya, is that right?
I was.
Tell me about that experience.
It was a positive experience. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was there for about 40 days. We were at the high altitude camp in I-10, and the camp itself had about 40 other athletes in there. Yeah, really positive experience. Towards the end, I got a little homesick, so I decided to pull the plug early, and I traveled home and cut my trip short by about 12 days, but just really wanted to be back with my friends and hearing the voices of my loved ones.
Yeah, but what's it like going to this place where, I guess the best way to describe it would be, running is to Kenya what hockey is to Canada, right?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's really cool to see groups of 15 to 30 athletes just running together with this perfect effortless stride, and they don't even look like they're working hard when they pass by you, but then you try and keep up and they're moving along pretty good. And even on our runs, kids that are walking to school, they'll be running next to you and they'll be asking you how you're doing, and like you might get asked how you're doing 30 times per run.
Wow.
So it's a really unique experience, because you don't get that here. You don't see five groups of 30 athletes running together.
Right.
And you don't see these kids running to school. And some of these kids aren't even wearing shoes, and they're keeping up with you while you're out for a run. So it really keeps you grounded, because you think you're a good athlete before you go out there. And then you get there, and you're like, you're nobody. There's 2,000 guys that are faster than you. So it really keeps you grounded.
Wow. Sounds like a very cool experience. Now, the article in iRun raises something. It brings up the fact that Canada's men's marathon record has stood for more than 40 years. Jerome Drayton holds the record from back in the 70s. And do you think that's within your sights? Is that something you aspire to break one day, or are you not focused on that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's not in my sights. I'm not focused on it. I'm focused on just getting a little bit better every day and seeing where my limit truly sits. And maybe my limit is faster than that, and maybe it's not. And I don't want to set myself up with that goal or expectation to hit that, because then if I don't, then I'll be disappointed. So I don't even worry about it. I just focus on the work day in and day out. If it naturally comes, fantastic. If it doesn't, then this is my career, this is the best that I'll do, and at the end of it, I'm going to be happy with whatever results I obtain.
Well, that's a great way to look at it, and that's the way every runner, elite or otherwise, should approach their goals and their training. Trevor, it is absolutely great to speak with you. Congratulations on all you've done so far, and I think the best is yet to come. The best of luck in the future. Thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Trevor Hofbauer, who won the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon in October, and he's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun magazine. You can read more about Trevor at irun.ca. Coming up next, the runner who has the most results in races timed by sports stats. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. If you're a runner, you've probably searched through the results on SportStats, the timing business that is the parent company of iRun. You can find your finishing times there and the results of other runners. Well, we decided to find out who has been in the highest number of races timed by SportStats. Turns out it's a runner named François Bernatche of Sherbrooke, Quebec, who has been in more than 440 races, and that's just the ones timed by SportStats. François, welcome to iRun Radio.
My pleasure.
So, how many races have you done exactly?
I don't keep a record of all the races I've done. I know that on SportStat, they have claimed, 443 races. And
okay.
I've done also at least 200, 300 more. So, I should be close to 700 races since 1993. So.
Since 1993?
Yeah, since okay. 1982, when I resumed running, I was running as a junior on track and field team at the college, and when I went to the university, I stopped running to concentrate on my study, and in 1983, at age 37, I said I have to run to get back in shape and stick with it, and I'll come back. So the competitive spirit came back as soon as I hit the road. So
I guess so.
That's funny.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the different kinds of races you've done since 1993. Is it running, triathlons? Is it 10Ks, marathons, ultra marathons? Tell me a little bit about it.
Okay. Most of the races were for running. I did a bit of triathlon, but mostly it's running. Up to 2008, my favorite distance was marathon. I did 46 marathon, one ultra, 45 marathon. But it was diagnosed with arthritis. And I undergo hip surgery, complete hip replacement in 2011.
Okay, so you had hip replacement surgery.
Yeah, in 2011, and so up to 93 to 2008, I ran around 45 marathon. That was my favorite distance and the race goal of the year. But I did a lot of half marathon also in those years,
yeah.
And some 10Ks. Since the hip replacement, since 2012, because I take nearly 1 year off to heal from the surgery.
Sure.
Mostly it's 5K and 10K.
Okay.
I still do half marathon, maybe two, three per year. And I did one marathon since the hip surgery in Las Vegas in 2014, just to try.
Wow.
And the second one will be in Ottawa next May. For
You're going to do another marathon?
Yeah, I'm planning to do the Ottawa Marathon in the Lumberjack Challenge this
okay.
year.
Okay. Yeah.
Last year, I did the Voyageur Challenge, and I said to myself in 2018, I should upscale it and undo the Lumberjack.
Okay, so which is you do the 2K, the 5K, the 10K, and the marathon. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope to do that.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
But we'll see on that weekend if we'll be able to do that.
Look, lots of people, after they have hip replacement surgery, they never run again. So the fact they're even running, even doing 5K is a great thing. Now you're doing not only a marathon, but you're doing the Lumberjack Challenge.
Yeah, but it will be at a slower pace than
well, that's than okay.
I was running before, but I still enjoy it. And every time I put a big number on me and I start a race, with the competitive spirit, we always give our best. We have fun. We don't want to hurt ourselves. We don't want to get sick about that. But sure that we give our best shot.
Yeah.
Every time we race, that's part of the fun.
Absolutely,
I like it.
What is it that you like so much, François?
A lot of people ask me the question, especially my wife.
And what do you tell her?
Well, I said it just like the camaraderie, the spirit around the race, and it's not the same thing that. Sometimes she told me, why do you drive 2-3 hours on a Sunday morning, wake up at 5 o'clock to do a race in Montreal area? Instead, you could just run in Sherbrooke and do the same 10K or 5K. And why not? I said, it's not the same thing. I do training runs during the week, but every race is an event by itself. We meet new people. And there's a kind of energy from the racers, the group of racers all together. As you probably notice, when you go to the race, you always see smiling people who are happy with what we are doing. They have very positive attitude. It's very rare that you see a runner after his race to be mad or have negative thoughts. Maybe he could be have a deception because he didn't reach his goal. But we are privileged to be running and to be racing, and especially since the hip surgery, I did much more race after the surgery than I did before, because I thought that after the surgery I won't be able to run anymore. So for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Imagine when you had the surgery, you must have been worried that you wouldn't be able to do it anymore.
It's what I thought. It was in the picture. And, the doctor told me that I should not be running. It's not good for my hip. And he said, if you're still running, you could get problem in the future. But as far as I am, it's okay. You know, I've been checked every year with the surgeon, and everything is fine. But I'm sure I can do the same volume of running as I did before as a training. So I can train for a marathon as I did before.
Right.
I can run 50 miles per week or 60 kilometers per week. Now I ran around 25 kilometers per week, even with the races. So it's very slow. Mileage, training.
What you said is very powerful, because I always say that in running, you see everybody at their best. You really see people in a good mood, and everybody can go out and have a great race on the same day, which is really a remarkable thing, because we're not really competing with each other. We're just out there trying to run the best that we each can.
Yeah, that's right. You see the people during event, a race or any kind of event, even a fun run, people are happy. And if people in the world were more runners, I think there would be less problem in the world in politics.
Really? We should all be
happy,
running.
They don't want. Yeah, there should be more running and more runners, because they will feel more empathetic for the other people, and they would be less negative and more positive. They would have a more positive attitude.
Yeah.
They would know.
Now, François, going back to when you ran 45, 46 marathons during the 90s and the 2000s before your surgery, tell me about some of those races. Were there any among those that stand out for you, events that you went to that you really liked?
Boston. I ran Boston 8 times.
Wow,
qualified
good for
1996
you.
In Cape Cod. I never break 3 hours, though. I try, but the closest I get, it was 3:07 in Toronto in 1998. But at least I ran Boston 8 times, New York 4 times, Chicago. And also I like to, at that time, I did some marathon outside, like Paris, the Athens Marathon, Beijing in China. And the one that I like a lot, it was one of the most regional marathon, was the Kilimanjaro Marathon. A bunch of friends went there for climbed Kilimanjaro, and after that we went for 5 days in safari, and when we came back after the safari, that was the marathon, and the Kilimanjaro Marathon. So
wow.
We did that in the same travel, so that was a nice trip, nice travel for us.
So you've run marathons all over the world, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in North America?
Yeah, I would like to do most, but I'm still walking, so when I will stop walking, I would like to... I know that I still have some marathon left in my legs, even with the hip surgery, so
yeah.
I keep that for maybe travel abroad and doing marathon. I like what some people call marathon tourism.
Yes.
So you do a trip and you pitch in a marathon, so it's not the same vacation, it's not the same travel. You go to Paris for 2 weeks, and during the 2 weeks you do the marathon. I think it's that give an extra to the travel experience.
Yeah. Well, Francois, what you've done is remarkable, and I'm so impressed that you're still running marathons even after hip replacement surgery. That's phenomenal. I know lots of people worry that that if something like that were to happen to them, they wouldn't be able to run anymore, but you're proof that it can happen. So congratulations on all you've done. And again, we're told that you are the person who has run the most races ever recorded on Sports Stats, and you mentioned you're closing in on 700 different races in the last 30 years or so, which is just incredible. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
It was a pleasure for me.
That's Francois Bernatche of Sherbrooke, Quebec. Coming up next, an inspiring runner who lost a lot of weight and completed all 3 events at the Disney Princess Half Marathon. Canada's longest running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. As we mentioned earlier, Jody Hutchinson is a very inspiring woman. She took up running a few years ago. She has lost a lot of weight, and she has an incredible story of completing 3 events at the Disney Princess Half Marathon at Walt Disney World despite suffering a fall. Jody, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into running.
I got into running when I was always a cheerleader for my friends at running events, and then I decided, why can I not do this? So then I just started training and did my first 5K 4 years ago.
And how did that go?
It went pretty good. When I first started running, I was over 350 pounds, so I had the struggles of that against me, but it went really well, and I finished, and that was the main thing.
So tell me a little bit about what the experience of starting to run was like. Starting to run is a difficult thing for anybody. If it can be challenging mentally and physically. And I know I've talked to other people who have carried a lot of weight at the time that they started running, and that can make it even more physically demanding and also mentally challenging because you're concerned about what other people are going to think and many other things like that. So was that a factor for you?
I don't think I cared to what people thought, because in my own mind I was thinking, I'm out here doing this, so you can't judge me kind of mentality. But I think my biggest thing when I started training was I really learned how far 5K was. It's
right.
Not as short as what you think it is, and it's not as far, but once I got going and realized that, you know, 1 kilometer down, I had 4 left to go, and I started breaking it up in a mind game. I didn't do the full 5K, I would do a kilometer at a time.
What was the experience of that first 5K like for you? What did it mean to you?
I think it meant the most to me to know that I could do this. There's nothing holding me back from setting another higher goal or setting myself for something different, because I basically beat my body in crossing the finish line. Because you mentally have this reserve against you as being plus size, that I couldn't do this because I was plus size. And then when I did do it and completed it, I knew that nothing could stop me and that I could set higher goals and train and continue on a journey.
And what did it feel like when you crossed the finish line of that 5K? As you say, when you first start, 5K seems like a really long distance.
I think the emotion was, because my best friend was waiting for me on the other side, because she had run it and waited for me to finish. I think the emotion was, I couldn't really describe it, but it was like, I did this, and I did it by myself. Like, no one else did this for me. This was my victory.
And since then, of course, you've taken it even further, right? You've done even longer distances than that.
I have. So I think once I got the 5K down, I decided the following year that I could do a 10K and a 15K, and I trained for that knowing that I didn't really care. The only thing I mostly cared about when I signed up for runs was how long the course was open, because I'm not the fastest runner out there. So once I started training and just continued setting myself for, okay, spring races, fall races, train in between. So I just kept having goals, because then that kept me committed to myself to train and better myself.
Tell me about some of the other events that you've done.
So I've done the women's Nike run, that when it was here in Toronto. I did that, and I was one of the last to cross. And that was in a very... to me, that was a very emotional run, because I was one of the last people to cross. They were tearing everything down. But I knew once I did the 15K, I knew I could set myself up for a half, because I got over a hurdle. So that one was quite emotional. And my first half marathon, which was at Scotiabank a year ago in 2016.
Right.
I did my first half marathon, and that one was completely emotional, because it was unfamiliar territory going that far distance. I know you train, but I didn't train running 21K. I did up to 18K. So when I was doing that last home stretch up Bay Street, it was a surreal feeling in my mind that I did this, and I've completed my first half marathon. And after that, I knew I could do anything.
Yeah. And so when you say emotional at the finish line of these races, what do you mean exactly? How emotional do you get?
I actually cried on my first half, because I had lost weight, and that was kind of I had lost a lot of weight, and so that was the run that changed, but it was kind of, I did this run knowing I could do better, and I was in a different place physically to finish this run. So when I crossed it and I turned around and looked at the finish line, I had tears in my eyes going, again, I did this, no one else could take this from me. And I did it in the time frame that I was hoping for, that the best I could. So it was an emotional time, and I had family and friends waiting for me at the finish, so that helped a little bit too.
Sure, yeah. And how much weight have you lost?
150 pounds.
Wow. Good for you. And how does that feel that you've done that? That's in not a very long period of time either, right?
No, it feels great. Like, I do have my own different health issues, but with my asthma stuff, but it feels great, especially when you're training, and it changes how you run. I actually had to learn to run different, because I had lost weight and your form completely changes. So I had to relearn almost to run as I kept losing weight, because obviously the change in my physical appearance. But I still am in the back half of the pack, and I still support and advocate for them. So I'm not changing, and I don't think I will ever podium unless I'm running when I'm 90.
but who cares, right? It's not about where you are in the pack. It's about where you are in your life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly. And like, every finish line, like, one to me is a victory that I did this, I trained, no one else could done it for me, because it's me against basically myself when I'm out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, I understand you recently did the Princess Half Marathon at Disney World. Is that right?
I did. I did the 5K, the 10, and the half marathon over the 3 days.
Wow. So the 5K one day, the 10K the next day, and then the half marathon.
That's correct.
How did that go?
It went really well. We had a plan, my best friend and I. the 5K is not time, so we still went out and had fun, kept it under a certain time. The 10K, we basically knew where we'd make the time up, got the time we wanted. But then, unfortunately, on the half marathon, I wiped out at the 5K mark, got up, brushed myself off, and I continued the 16K completely injured. And I finished because it was my redemption run, because the last time I tried to do that same half marathon, I was medically pulled off for my asthma. So nothing was stopping me this time. So I finished, and that, to me, that's completely proud. I cried crossing that finish line knowing I did it and nothing stopped me.
Wow. So tell me about what happened when you fell down, and how hurt were you by it?
I have a concussion, whiplash from the impact of hitting the pavement, and I will further find out if part of my wrist and my elbow are broken.
Okay, so this was serious.
It is, but I didn't stop, and when I did fall, it was around the 5K mark, and I don't remember the full fall, but from what I was told, I kind of flew and hit the ground with my head first, and then my shoulder and my arm. But I got up, saw a medic, and I told him, nothing's stopping me, I'm finishing. So move out of here with my way, sir. Carrying on.
Wow. And you felt okay, obviously. I mean, if you had reached a point where you didn't feel like it was safe to continue, I'm sure you would have stopped.
That's correct. But I think I was running on adrenaline, knowing that I was 5K in, I only had 16K, you know, just do another couple K, see how you feel. And I just kept going. And I knew that at the end, Disney does a medic tent with a hospital, so I knew I could see them when I finished the finish.
Yeah. So what has running come to mean for you, Jody?
It's taught me how to better myself, both mentally, physically, and pay more attention to what my body says. But at the same time, the family, the running family and the running community has meant so much to me, and being supportive of me and offering training runs, it's opened a door that I never thought would open and bring people into my life that I've never, these people are family to me. So running means a lot to me, and I know I'm injured right now, but I just can't wait to get back out training, because my next run's the Mississauga half and I want to complete that.
Right. So you're planning to do the half marathon in Mississauga at the beginning of May?
I am.
And what about after that?
I have Sporting Life after that.
Which is a 10K?
Yes. And then I'm doing the Divas Half Marathon on the Toronto Island in June.
Okay. So you have a lot planned.
I do. And I'm going to try another attempt at a full marathon in October. So I'm gearing up for that.
Well, good for you, Jody. This is all so inspiring. It's so impressive what you've done, and the way you speak about it with so much enthusiasm and passion, you describe it all so well. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good luck with your recovery, and I wish you the best in the Mississauga Half Marathon. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That's Jody Hutchinson. Coming up next week on iRun Radio, we're going to talk to a woman who's planning to run all the way from Montreal to Ottawa. We're going to connect with an expert on nutrition for runners and someone who's just back from doing a marathon in Guatemala. I hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.